From scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
So Nigel, about 30 seconds ago, before we hit record, I said, what are we going to talk about? And you said, well, we could talk about the learning organisation. And I said, why is that? Because you're going to write a book about it. And lo and behold, it appears you might be. So tell us about the learning organisation. Why is this important? Why are we talking about it this week? And what on earth are you talking about?
It is a pitch at the moment. So let's not put the cart before the horse. But it's something that really interests me. The point is that in the 1980s, there was a huge amount of interest in the concept of a learning organisation, an organisation where individuals contributed to the overall competence of the organisation. The organisation was able to write itself, remake itself, adjust and align, all of that kind of stuff. And then in 1990, Peter Senge wrote his book called The Fifth Discipline, which is all about developing the learning organisation. So there was a strong sort of UK tradition. Bob Garrett wrote a book in 1986, I think, called The Learning Organisation. Peter Senge in 1990. Huge amount of flurry. And then it sort of died. And it never really came back again. Senge and Garrett, slightly oppositional in their view. And no one kind of resolved that. No one related that to the work of people like Edgar Schein, who was a social anthropologist who looked at organizational culture. So what I want to do is just revise the idea of building a learning culture, because I think building a learning culture is probably one of the most important things that organizations have to do over the next 5 years. And that is a complete realignment of the role of L&D, because you can't build a learning culture that is controlled by L&D or is based around a portfolio of courses. That's not the way learning culture works. So it's about the kind of confluence of individual responsibility compared with organizational responsibility, business responsibility. And therefore, it's about changing the way organizations think about themselves and the way people think about their role in organizations. And so I think it's about time someone kicked the tires in that area again. And I want to be that person, if possible.
Okay, so are we talking about organisational design here? Is this a systems type thing or not?
There's a small element of that. It's much more about empowerment, engagement, and willingness to share. And also it links in with that idea of people taking responsibility for their own development and not blame the organization if they fall behind or their skills become outmoded. If you picked up The Economist on Friday, I get The Economist every week, 18-page supplement, The Primacy of Lifelong Learning, The Importance of Lifelong Learning. The Economist always puts his finger on stuff before it becomes a big issue. And I think that they've picked this up, that we have to create more opportunities for lifelong learning. But the way they've pitched it is a kind of new relationship between formal education and organizations. And I think maybe that's part of it. But I think it's bigger than that and goes way beyond that. And I don't think saying it's all the fault of the universities or all the fault of, you know, FE colleges is really fair. You know, I think it's much more complicated. But that sort of more dynamic relationship between research and action would be really very interesting to look at as well. And I remember Bob Garrett, you know, who wrote The Learning Organization, he used to call himself a pracademic. In other words, someone who works in practice but is fundamentally an academic. He does research. And we use that term as a research practitioner in the US. That's the term that we use in Penn. Someone who's a research practitioner. So I think all of these ideas are bubbling around and need to come together and be repositioned, if you like, for the world that we live in now. And to pick up the technology element, that's not picked up by Senge and it's not really picked up by Bob Garrett. And that becomes, it's both a reason why we need to be learn more and learn faster, but it also gives us, it gives us the problem and it gives us the solution, basically. So we need to spend a lot of time on that.
Okay, so can I quickly, last point, because we're running out of time. I get the personal responsibility and the role of the individual in all of this. What is it not the case that it didn't work in the 80s and 90s? So it got, it basically didn't work, so it stopped being talked about because organisations potentially aren't very good at nurturing people. You know, they treat adults like children a lot of the time. They've been command and control. You know, the minute you walk into work, you act like a completely different person. You expect to be told stuff. You don't work it out for yourself. It's all this kind of stuff. I don't see any signs that that's changed massively in the last couple of decades, or maybe I'm wrong, but isn't that the reason why it kind of didn't take off? And so what's changing there to make it work this time round?
Because in the 80s, the emphasis became on productivity gains through technology. So people got caught up in that always on, working longer, harder, more intense. And learning just got squeezed out of the equation. Now I think that there's a realization that we have to be smarter, we have to create time for reflection, we have to break into, you know, the extended working week and give people opportunities for processing and reflection. And I think there's a recognition now that flogging people to death and squeezing out every last drop of productivity may help you in the short term, but it's not going to help you in the medium and long term. That's the absolute essence of it. This is about strategies for long-term survival. And I think in the 80s, it was nice to have. Now it's absolutely essential to start rethinking this. You know, there's a whole raft of new research by McKinsey, which is about creating time for reflection, not pushing people too hard, make sure they get rest, make sure that ideas are shared and ideas are generated. Now, this is McKinsey, which was a poster child for the previous model of, you know, working people unbelievable hours and demanding unbelievable levels of productivity. So the times are changing, I think, for all sorts of reasons.
So let's just end there and hope that the timing is absolutely right for that pitch. So good luck, and I hope you I'll get to write that soon, because it sounds like it'd be a very interesting read. Nigel, that's brilliant. Thanks very much.
Martin, always a pleasure to talk. From scratch.